It's my distinct honor today to introduce to you today Sam Daniel. And just to give you a brief bio on Sam, Sam was born in Kerala, India, believers in Jesus Christ. And their house was the place of fellowship for local believers. And while in college, Sam taught the word to fellow students. His first degree in theology was from, I hope I pronounced this right, Bangalore, Southern Asia Bible College in 1974. He began pioneering churches while teaching the Word of God at Eastern Bible College in Northeast India from 1974 to 1976. And he married Grace during this time, and she became his life and ministry partner. In 1977, they came to Cochin and started Home Prayer Fellowship, which was the beginning of New Life Christian Fellowship. And he came to Lincoln Christian Seminary in 1989 to pursue a Master's of Divinity in Theology, graduating in 1993. And while at Lincoln Christian Seminary, New Life for Asia was organized, and he returned to India in 1993, continuing the New Life Christian Fellowship ministry with the support of New Life for Asia. He not only came today from India, but he also came at 5 this morning. Hats off to you. That's So we are so thankful that he's with us today. So he will share our message. So with no further ado, I will turn it over to Ed.
We are glad that we could come back after 4 years and meet in this congregation. And we bring greetings from our Christian friends, from our churches in India. As I have been introduced, I still remember my first coming to Hudson.
In 1989, I came to Lincoln Christian Seminary, and in 1990, I came here first in Hudson Christian Church. Still I remember that we had a VBS program here with our children also. We have 3 kids, Elsie, the eldest one, and Philsie, the second one, and Danielson, the third boy. Danielson is with us, and he gave us a ride to come over here. And while this time when we are here, we are staying with Danielson in Chicago area. This is our first visit to our supporting churches. And the remaining few weeks also we'll be here in this area visiting other churches. Here, I would like to share the ministry that we are doing in India and also a short message from the Word of God. That the ministry we started as a small prayer group and Bible study in our house has now developed to a fellowship of churches in 5 different states in India, around 50 local congregations, and we are helping 50 gospel workers, those who are located in this area. They are doing outreach work in these 5 states. Recently, we have started a work in Nepal, the neighboring country to India. And there is a newsletter copy. A few copies are available with us if you are so interested to know more about the mission ministry. You can have a copy after this service. Our mission is a mission of our Lord Jesus Christ to carry out the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus is the Savior of the world. And Jesus, just before his ascension, he told his disciples, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, when you receive power, you shall be my witnesses throughout the world. And, you know, witnessing our Lord is the mission that God has entrusted with us. And I would like to read the text from the Word of God, which is displayed in the overhead projector. It was displayed before, I think. And Acts chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. I shall read it once again for you. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses to this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." May God bless us with the reading of the scripture. You know, this text, the context is the healing of a man in Jerusalem who was crippled from birth. And that event became a good occasion for witnessing the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter and John, they witnessed the Lord, who is the Savior of the world. Now, witnessing the Lord through life is a very very important thing in communicating the gospel. And this is, you know, as missionaries, we are training and equipping national brothers who are dedicated to preach and teach the Word of God. We have an academy for training young men who are coming to learn from the Lord and prepare for the ministry in our mission field. You know, students from other states are brought in the academy, and we all learn together. You know, as the teachers, we learn from the Lord and teach the students, and the students are encouraged to learn from the Lord, because in our academy, Jesus Christ himself is the master teacher. Though he is not present physically, in spirit, as he said, you know, in Matthew chapter 28, the last words he said, you know, when he gave the Great Commission, the final word he said, you know, "I'll be with you in doing this this ministry." So we believe and that, you know, we are not alone doing the ministry in the field. Jesus Christ, he is present in the field doing miracles and wonders through his life and ministry, just as he did in Jerusalem. You know, now look to the context of that Jesus, you know, helping his apostle to witness him through a miracle. Now, verse chapter 3 of the Acts of the Apostles, Peter and John, they were going to the temple for prayer. You know, when we speak about prayer, prayer is a in India. You know, many people, when they face problems, they go through difficult problems, they ask us to pray for them. And we use that. You know, we pray for them, and God, the Lord Jesus Christ, answer the prayer. And through that answered prayer, we could get a relationship with the people. And Jesus Christ himself, opens the door or the way to have a communicative relationship with the people. As you know, that there is a severe opposition for religious conversion in India. You know, there is a law which says, it is to protect the religious faith, but it is exactly is an anti-conversion law. You know that the Hindus or other they can propagate and convert the people, but the Christians, they cannot do that, and it is very very badly scrutinized. You know where Christian missionaries are converting Hindus or other people, and we do face problems because of that. But you know, when the Lord answers prayer and people have an experience with Jesus Christ, you know, no one can stand against the individual faith. So we use that as a bridging to reach out, you know, prayer. So we start our ministry as a prayer fellowship, and gradually we introduce the true living God to them, and then the Word of God, and then Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the Savior. And gradually we lead the people into faith. And it is not very speed a work that can be done speedily. Very slowly we are reaching out the people. And we have in each state, we have a regional outreach team. They do distribute the tracts, and they find out the people, those who are interested and seeking for salvation. They want prayer for them. You know, these teams will contact them. And wherever possible, we will conduct small prayer groups in weekdays. And that is the basic outreach ministry that we are doing. And slowly, one of the houses, you know, we start a small Sunday gathering. And gradually, the church develops. Thus, you know, we have the present congregation. You know, the strength of the congregation is between 20 and 80. That is the strength of the congregation. The Lord is using us in the field, and the Lord is using you to help us, to support us with prayer and the financial needs to meet the outreach work of this gospel workers in the field. And we are guiding them. We are giving them the training that is required, and we travel in the field, and we conduct seminars for these gospel workers. And at least once in a year, we get all these people together in our academy, and we teach them. And if they are facing problems, we will discuss together, pray together how we can solve the problems and continue the reaching out ministry. So thus, you know, we are doing a work for for the Lord, that the Lord should, could work through us. And you are also a part of the ministry, though you know, you haven't come and seen the people there. But in spirit, your prayer, your emotional support, and your you know, helping hand is doing a great thing for the mission ministry in India. And I would like to share a few thoughts, you know, about you know, how we can witness the Lord through our life. Now let's look to the context of the scripture that we used as our text. The man who was crippled, he was a beggar. He was a beggar. You know, here, two people who went for prayer and one person begging for money, they met. You know, it is like a crossroad, you know, where, you know, two people, Peter and John, they went for prayer to the temple. And there is a man who sits at the gate, beautiful. The name of the gate is Beautiful. The beggar was sitting there. And when, you know, when we read this, this man was 40 years old, because that you read, you know, chapter 4, verse 22, you see that, you know, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old, and he was crippled from birth. And we read that, you know, it was the customary practice. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. There he was put every day to beg from those who going into the temple courts. So this was a practice, you know, for, you know, he was there for many years. He's a man of 40 years. And the people, his people, were taking him and putting him in the gate for begging. You know, when I speak about begging, you know, in India, begging is a very common practice. You will see beggars everywhere. You know, even while you drive, you come to a stop signal, and you stopped your car, and see, beggars will be there. They will be coming and asking you, you know, we experience this. And you go to any place, you know, any bus stand or railway station or railway to market or to many church, you know, any festival or anything, a temple or anything, there are beggars everywhere. Don't think that all beggars are poor. Some beggars are very rich. They do it because that is their job. And you know, this has a connection with religion also. In Hinduism and Eastern religions, they teach that one of the way for salvation is giving alms. So this has a religious relationship. And you know, I remember Cochin, the city where we are living, it is a beggar prohibited city. That means begging is not allowed in public there. But in relation to temple or church or any other places, limited begging is allowed. But still, you will see beggars standing in the roadside, in the signal, red signal and so on. But, you know, it is very difficult. You know, sometimes because of this law, police will take the beggar and put him in the shelter. But, you know, these beggars, they don't like to be in the shelter. Next day, you know, somehow they will get out and come again. They will be in the street. So begging is a very common thing in India. And so here, this man was 40 years old, and it was his usual practice. You know why his relatives take him to the temple every day? Because they also get money. Because he begs, And he gets the money, and the people, the relatives, they took him to the temple, had money. And so it was a kind of a business, begging. And, you know, in India, it has to be very careful. You know, some people, the beggars, you know, they even steal children. And, you know, they kidnap children and make them disformed and put them to begging. You know, those criminal activities are there. Government laws are preventing them, but, you know, it is very difficult to control such practices. Recently, there was a news that, you know, there are many children thieves are there, so be careful careful about your children. There was an announcement in a broadcasting news in India. And you know that, you know, begging is a practice going on there. And you can see this man was there begging. When Peter and John was going as usual, he was begging for money. Verse 3 says, you know, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. But then Peter and John, they said, you know, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention. Here you see a kind of a personal attention. You know, in a way, eye contact. You know, in communication, eye contact is a very important thing. Here, this beggar and this men of prayer, these disciples who are witnessing the resurrected Christ, they, you know, they came to a communicative relationship. And the beggar did not ask for healing. He was not begging for healing. He was begging for money. And Peter and John said, money we don't have. But what we have is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the Savior of the world. And, you know, what Peter said was that, you know, I have the gospel for your salvation. You know, that is what Peter presented to this beggar. But the beggar was begging for money, not for healing. You know, he was there for many years. I think, you know, the last days of Jesus Christ, you know, taught in the temple. And at that time also this beggar, this crippled man was there. Possibility is that. Because it was practice that taking this man every day. And during the last days of Jesus' ministry, when Jesus was in temple, this man was begging there. But, you know, but at this particular time, when Peter and John going to the temple, he asked money to Peter. But Peter said, I don't have money, but I'll give you the Savior who can heal you. And that is what he said. You know, now in the mission field, you know, very often, if we give money, if Peter gave money, this man will be continuing in begging. But remember, Peter gave Jesus, the Savior, the gospel to him. And through that eye contact and the conversation, the communication of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when we speak about Jesus Christ, Gospel of John, it says, you know, the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ himself, he is the Word of God. The Word became flesh. When we communicate the gospel, we are communicating the Word of God. Word is God and God is Word. That is what we see in Jesus Christ. When we witness Jesus Christ, we are witnessing the Word of God, the way for salvation. And here, you know, Peter communicated the name of the Lord. The Lord who is the savior of the world. And the crippled man who is a beggar there, he has accepted Jesus Christ. And immediately, you know, Peter helped him to get up, and he was healed, and he went into the temple. Verse 8, he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. You know what a change that he had, this crippled man had in his life. And he, you know, he was completely healed. He was healed by faith. Because Peter presented the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, money we don't have, but we have the name Jesus. And so the beggar believed in Jesus Christ. And all this comes in the spirit. And immediately he jumped up and walked with Peter and John and started praising God. You know, this is a life experience. This man had never walked in his life up to this 40 years of age. But now, when he accepted Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, he was changed. He was not only healed, but he was praising God. And he joined the disciple of Jesus Christ and went into the court. And you know, as a result, what happened? All the people in the temple, they recognized this man. Is this man the beggar sitting at the gate? And they recognized. And they were amazed. And they were wondering how this man was healed. Then Peter got again an opportunity to communicate the gospel to the people in that temple. And that is the words which we read here. Peter told that, you know, how this man was healed. The people thought that it was because of Peter and John. They were the divine people. You know, in India, it happens, you know. The living people are deified. There are many gurus and many living people are worshipped in India. Because, you know, their gods are idols. But, you know, when a person, living person, do some miracle or some abnormal things, they think that these people are gods. And that is worshipping. Human worship is very, very much in India. And, you know, in Middle East also we can see that, you know, people thought that these people, Peter and John, are divine people. Because of their power, this man was healed. But, you know, Peter and John said, no, it is not by our power. It is not of our, it is nothing for our credit, but the credit goes to Jesus Christ, whom you crucified. You know, you crucified Christ, the Son of God, who is the author of life. You killed him, but, you know, Jesus raised him up. And he is alive. And he did heal this crippled man. And that was witnessed through their life. And, you know, their changed life. You know, this crippled man, his life is changed. And that changed life is a witnessing for the gospel. And now, this is what the Lord does through our life also. You know, when our life is changed, in our attitude, our behavior, our conversation, our lifestyle, all changed, it gives a good witness of our Lord Jesus Christ. People will find out that who we are and what changes in our life. It is because of the gospel of Jesus Christ and because the Son of God. The Son of God, Jesus, changed my life. And this man, this crippled man, witnessed Jesus Christ, the Savior, through his life. And as a result, you know, we see that, you know, many people believed, and the number of the disciples increased. And Now, when we come as a result of all this, we see that, you know, Acts chapter 6, verse 7, let us read that one. And it says this: "So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." You know, because of this witnessing the Lord Jesus Christ through changed life has helped to spread the word of God in Jerusalem. As a result, the number of people in faith increased in Jerusalem. This is the strategy for reaching out in the mission field. You know, changed life. You know, but change takes place very gradually, very you know. And actually, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who changes lives. Changed life is a great witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We encourage people to repent and change their life, follow the Lord Jesus Christ and his teachings. Because Jesus said, you know, those who hear my words, my teachings, they are like the wise men who built their house deep rooted in the rock. You know, like that, you know, the life should be rooted in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Our ministry is restoring the teachings of Jesus Christ. It is a restoration ministry, helping the people to study the Bible, the gospel, and learn what Jesus Christ taught, and live accordingly, and to witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for encouraging us to come and to share the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you are helping us. And ever since we met in 1990, this church is one of the seven supporting churches for the mission. Seven churches, and a few individuals are only in our support group. But you are doing a great help for us. Continue to help us in this ministry. By helping this ministry, you are... because we are doing the Lord's work in Jesus' name. And thank you for hearing us. And may God bless you and continue to uphold us in your prayer, in your mission help. Thanking you.